It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good Monday morning. Good Monday morning, the 21st of May. Just listening to the intro of the show here, and I'm running through my head to seemingly outrageous comments. What makes a comment outrageous? What really makes a comment outrageous? We're so programmed. I was telling the guys before we came out, we're in the queue. We got 21. We got room for probably 20 more of you want to try to climb in here with us today. We'd love to have you come in and be part of it, be part of the queue. We're so programmed. And it's red pill, blue pill. I was really, really blessed on, it happens all the time. I was really blessed on Saturday night. My wife and I, Michelle and I, we went up to hear David Arthur, the Alphabet Man, speak again, and very, very small crowd for a lot of reasons. People don't, hey, listen, folks, people don't really want to hear the truth. Bang my finger coming down the steps today, so you see me bleeding. We don't really want to hear the truth. You know, the Bible says, shall know the truth, and truth, if you know it, going to set you free. We find ourselves, this is all of us. Most people don't want to get out of their comfort zones at all. They're very, very comfortable where we are. And when you begin to, I have one of those brains that asks a lot of questions. When I watch stuff and I hear stuff, I ask a lot of questions. I think it's healthy. I think it's the inquisitive nature that we all had probably when we were young kids. I watched my little grandson, how inquisitive he is. When do we lose that? Where do we lose that? Where do we use that? Lose that childlike wonderment about our faith? So I heard David Arthur on Saturday night. I wish somebody could explain to me why there aren't packed houses to hear David Arthur. I know why. I do know why. There's been great, great confusion that's been spewed into the church regarding homosexuality. And even though people, even though they believe, you know, hang on. People said, you know what, Coach? I've searched that Bible and Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. Well, first of all, that's not true. But secondly, you cannot separate or divide the Old Testament and the New Testament. You cannot take Jesus and pull him out of the Old Testament. He was right there. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they were all right there when the Old Testament was written. They're all right there. And when God threw down fire and brimstone on Sodom, Gomorrah, do you think, was Jesus not with him? Was Jesus not in agreement that that's what ought to be done? One of the great things that they've done, I'm giving credit to the devil now. One of the great things that the devil has done is the devil's been a master at dividing the two testaments and changing the nature and character of God. God was mean and judgmental and all that in the Old Testament. And now that he's born again in the New Testament, everything's different. So all you got to do is go to your local church and just listen to the things that they don't talk about. You know, you can really judge a church. You can judge any conversation a lot by what they don't talk about. If you really want to know who your enemies are, find who you can and cannot speak against publicly. And at what point did the church reach the point where there were certain no-nos, certain things that you didn't say in church about certain group, people, groups, whatever? And it's because of the grave, grave confusion. So what I've started to say was, I got to double back a little bit, maybe in our shows here. I ran into a couple guys who, I was at the David Arthur thing. Stay with me. I know it goes odd direction. And came up to me afterwards, cornered me. That's not the right word, but they waited till the moment was right. And they came up and I found some more guys who really, really understand. They're here. Tinfoil hat Christianity. Encouraged my heart. And they said the same thing they said to me. We got talking a little bit about Russ Dizdar and L.A. Marzulli and Return of the Giants and Nephilim, all that kind of stuff that makes people nervous. And they said the same thing that I said. They said, man, did that ever increase my faith? And we got talking about that. Man, did that ever increase my faith? And that's where I am. Every time I get up in the morning and I try to lay out a show for you and we dive into this stuff, I get excited. I get excited. And so I like to bring stuff, lay stuff on the table that maybe you haven't thought about. And understand as I try to say over and over, thanks, David, I'm not always right. I don't claim to be right. But I think that in the multitude of many counselors, there's great wisdom, and some of these things are worthy of talking about. And that's why we try to bring it to the table. Having said that, looking forward to seeing you in June 15th and 16th. And again, you go to our website, I think it says June 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. That's a lot. Listen, if you can only come on Saturday, that would be good. The 15th, that would be good. Friday, we're going to go to a mosque. Friday night, we're going to have some fellowship and some teaching. Saturday morning, we're going to go to Planned Parenthood, or we're going to go to an abortion clinic. We're going to go to the homosexual pride parade in the afternoon. Both of those are downtown Columbus. So it's one event. We can almost walk to the other event. And we got a lot of exciting plans, Pastor Bill Dunphy and I are working on some different things we're going to do down there. Excuse me. And so we'd love for you all to come and be part of it. And you get for $30, you get four meals and some other stuff. But if all you can do is make it on Saturday, let's say you just can't. That'd be sufficient. Here's the tough part for a lot of us. It's Father's Day weekend. So I know a lot of you want to be home with your family, but we'll be out about our Father's business. So all hands on deck, June 15 and 16, I got the dates messed up in my head. June 15 and 16. You say, the mosque, Coach, what are you doing at the mosque? Well, we go share the gospel at the mosque. We don't go pick a fight. We don't go, none of that stuff. We go openly share the gospel outside the mosque. It's Friday is their, what they call a call to prayer, Friday at noon. And they come, they drive in. We'll outside, we'll have some signs. We'll be sharing some leaflets and some different things. Getting some conversations going on. We're not going to be antagonistic, although we're not afraid to be antagonistic, but that's not why we go. People say, well, Coach, the Muslims, they believe in Jesus. Well, they do, but they don't believe that Jesus is a savior. Just like there's a lot of Christians that don't believe Jesus is a savior. So, so what we're going to do, Planned Parenthood, it's going to be a great weekend. Going to be a good time. Cool, all right? Listen, a couple other things. I'm going to really kind of... Get Galatians 4 up, Jared, before I get too far along here. Galatians 4 this morning. I read this about four times this weekend, Galatians, the entire Galatians 4. There's a couple things in there I want to point out to you as we go through. Things are just, to me, just very, very clear. In fact, I got in Galatians 4, and then I went to the Message Bible even, and I went to Rogers, Sissy, NIV, and I read it in about four different things, and man, it was just so clear. It's so clear to me again. But I want to bring this up because this is ultimate tinfoil hat Christianity too. So let me throw this one out there real quickly. I got to put it on. I got to put it on because this is tinfoil hat. I just got to say it just for my own conscience sake. I say it to you. Do you believe in the what we call it, the New World Order? Call it the Illuminati? By the way, these things are, you can find all kinds of research on this stuff, by the way, you know, whether you want to believe it or not. This is not just something that we're making up or some. I was out yesterday playing golf yesterday afternoon. Praise the Lord for golf with the men in our family. And Kim trails are up there and I pointed out and some of them laugh at me. Some of them get it. Some of them laugh at me. I'm always pointing stuff out to people, stuff I notice. And so if you really, really see our Christian faith. If we want to go back and trace our lineage, our Christian faith, American Christian faith came from where? Came from England. We came from England. Our mother country. We know that Christopher Columbus came from Spain. I believe they sent him from Spain, but Christianity was spread all throughout that European continent. White Anglo-Saxon Protestants, as I spoke about it once. I was watching clips of the wedding. And I said to my wife, something's wrong. Something is seriously wrong. Something's going on here. Now, before I go any further, I want somebody out there to give me a history lesson. What makes the royal family the royal family? Can somebody help me with that? Let me just sit there a minute. I got my tinfoil hat on. Now, hang on, Vince. This is for Kyle Manta and the folks at Right Wing Watch. I got it on. So we're just throwing out possibilities and theorizing this morning. Just make my hat real good. Okay, Vince, what is the idea of royalty? What is that?
Okay, so from what I gather, the idea is behind loyalty is a bloodline, I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe. And maybe I'll leave it at that. I'm sure someone else has something.
But so same thing with Jesus, all right?
Right.
Jesus, when Jesus came, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, it was a royal bloodline. In fact, they said a royal priesthood, right? That the bloodline of Jesus was a royal bloodline. So we look at the Queen of England and the royal family, they actually call them. What is the royal family? Somebody else come in here, because I don't, maybe I'm missing something and I want to make sure that I'm okay here. Can somebody else come in? Royal family, anybody know anything about this? How you get to be a member of the royal family? Yeah.
They use bloodlines to justify it, but you know, the royal family in England is a composite of Belgian, German, Scottish. Everybody thinks that England conquered Scotland in the end. The royal house is a Scottish royal house through James Stuart, but they justify it also as a divine right of kings.
Okay.
In other words, God ordained that they rule. And so you touched upon some stuff about, let me finish, about British Israelism.
Sure.
Uh-huh. They are ordained over top of the coronation stone, which legend has it came from Israel, which is Jacob's pillow, the rock he rested his head on. So they tie that into it as well.
Okay, so it is all, point I'm trying to get, Lowell, is it's all related to bloodline. And certain people are in and certain people ain't in. Y'all with me on that? And we make the joke about the royal family. They used to make the joke called, said, well, they're all inbred. Anybody remember that other than me? Does anybody ever? I mean, I don't want to be too tinfoil hatty. You've heard that, right? They're all inbred. They're just inbred. Yes or no?
They're more inbred than our West Virginian families, Coach.
Thank you, Lowell. And make sure Lowell said that. I didn't say that. So the royal house of is a Windsor? Is that what it is? The royal house of Windsor is a bloodline. Supposed to be a pure bloodline. Now, does anybody see anything out of that bloodline? Let's stay in bloodlines a minute. Because we see bloodlines running everywhere, all throughout the world, really. People, you know, everybody's being identified by their blood. I'm identified by my blood, too, praise the Lord. But everybody's, you know, Indian blood, black blood, German blood, Nazi blood, bloodline, Jewish bloodline, perfect bloodline. That's what keeps the royal family royal. It's the bloodline.
Because I don't know all Melungeons.
Yeah, but Melungeons. I'm a Melungeon. is anybody picking up what I laying down yet? I don't know if you know this. Let me just lay it out there. Because most people won't say it because they want to sound racist. But I'm just going to say it. You know that Prince Harry's wife is half black. You guys know that? The Prince Harry's wife is half black. Now, look, wait a minute. That ain't that. That ain't that royal bloodline lineage there, is it, them fellas? Isn't there a little bit of, isn't there a little bit of mixed blood coming in there? And then I noticed something else. I get inquiring minds want to know. You know that did you see who performed the service? Who performed the service? You guys, did you guys follow that at all? Was it the Bishop of Canterbury or some official waspy guy that performed the, was it? Did I miss something? Or did we see the ultimate, how do I say this? A blending of the races. One new world order, one world government, the blending of the, in the House of Windsor coming together the first time. A black Episcopal priest minister performed the wedding. Somebody help me here. Am I overly sensitive here, or is anybody else picking up on this? Isn't it amazing that diversity?
You're right, Coach.
And all of a sudden, diversity in the most, what's supposed to be a pure bloodline. Now there's diversity in this pure bloodline, and therefore must be okay for all of us to be diverse. And I don't care what color Meghan Markle is. I don't care about that. It ain't nothing to do with it. I'm not the one that came up with the bloodline idea. And by the way, she's divorced too. I mean, this is crazy stuff, isn't it? Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach. Me and a guy were talking yesterday about this kind of issue, just asking questions, right? About, you know, race and stuff like that. And I said, well, how do you answer the fact that we all came from Adam and Eve? And he said, well, Adam and Eve had sex with their kids, and their kids and sisters and brothers had sex with each other. So do we do that? So point being, there races exist. They exist. There's white people. There's black people. Africans never built a boat to cross the ocean. White people did. Is it genetic? Just look around. Ask the question. Ask the question. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say we can't be brothers in Christ, but is it to say that we are a different nation?
A fair question. Or ask this question. Here we go. Let's get our race knives out here a minute. Why are all these Oriental people so daggone smart? Huh? All these Asians come over and, why are they so smart? By the way, my brother married a girl from China. Put that one away, all right? My nephews and nieces are half Asian, okay? But they're smart. Went to Harvard. Now, to notice that and point that out, is that racism? Is that racist to say that? Is that, why are some types of intermarriage okay and other types of intermarriage frowned on? Listen, yeah, I know you're not picking up what I'm laying down. We'll switch subjects here in a minute. Harry is six. Prince Harry is six from the throne. His brother William's first. William has two sons. They're ahead of Harry. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. If there was any chance that Harry was ever going to be king of England, do you think they really would have let him just choose any woman he wanted?
No. Just
whoever he fell in love with. Of course
not. No.
So what's the message that's being sent to us? Do they love each other? Well, sure, they probably do. Remember, Prince Charles married Diana and at the same time was having a love affair with Camilla. The one he really, really loved was Camilla, but Camilla didn't make it the bloodline, and I think she was divorced, I think. So they weren't going to let him. He was heir to the throne. They weren't going to let him marry just anybody. And is it a psyop that now all of a sudden six to the throne? He ain't never gonna be king. Now it's okay for the crown to be diverse. I don't know. Hey, Coach, no wonder you get yourself in trouble all the time. Just the way I think. Something's
going
on.
It is, yes, sir. According to Al Sharpton, he says the royal wedding shows white supremacy. is on his wow, last idiot. Breath.
Yep, really that's what that? He said. Yes, he did. Yes, he did say that. Yep. So understand.
Understand. That's a code word. Are you laying down the fact that it is an attack on Western civilization, Western Christian civilization spread by the British Empire throughout the world?
If I'm not saying that, I mean to say that, I guess. Right. Yeah, that's
and what specifically I'm... Protestantism. Protestantism, Northern European, liberty, life, direct access to God. No priests, ultimately no kings. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what this is an attack on. But it's just window dressing.
I'm telling you, Lowell, it was just beep, beep, beep as I'm watching this whole thing. They get this they bring this black Episcopal minister in who is extremely pro-homo. Right? I mean, it's all right there. It's all right in front of us. If we have the eyes to see and understand the programming that's going on. And why would the media, I don't care what channel you turned on. I didn't turn them on. There it was. There was the wedding. The royal wedding. Except it wasn't royal. It wasn't royal anymore. Oh, right. Lord Jesus.
They missed the entire point. Well, you know, hey, Coach, you know what it was? Yeah, listen, I'm going to say something really bad, but it's meant in humor, but there's a tinge of truth to it, what Jared was talking about. Cultural appropriation. Aren't black people living in white houses a cultural appropriation?
Yes. I guess so.
Right? I mean, come on.
Hey, Vince, why is 90% of the NBA black?
Why?
Why is it? Why is it? Why is it? Because the NBA is merit based. You have to be the best to get there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, come on, let's take down these forced diversity is the worst thing in the world.
It is the worst thing in the world, and somebody is trying to force feed us this malarkey now. That's all I'm saying. Open your eyes. I sense some of you want to move on because it makes you nervous. Well, I told you, okay. I told you.
Send a hate mail to me, hrc4jail@mail.com.
Okay, we're in Galatians 4 because this all goes along with it, by the way. Galatians 4. Got it up there. Boy, Larry, you're quiet today. I figured you'd be spouting off by now. Okay. Galatians 4. I want to read this, and I'm just going to try to read this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant. We're talking about bloodlines here. Are you? I hope you're getting the connection that the Holy Spirit's making here, all right? Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In other words, the king, Prince Charles, I'm sorry, Prince William, was the heir to the throne, but really he was just a kid as long as he was a kid. He had to do what his mom and dad told him. He had to do what his teachers told him. He was no different than anybody else. Okay? But verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of his father. So a child remains, no matter the royalty, kid remains a kid till dad says, okay. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law that he might receive the adoption of the sons. Okay, so the Lord has a prince. And when the prince gets full grown, fullness of time, God says, okay, my prince son, you're now the king. And here's what I want you to do. Don't miss it. Verse 5, I want you to redeem them that are under the law. Time out. Who are those under the law? Come on, boys. You got to follow this.
Subjects, right?
Pardon me?
Subjects.
The nation of Israel.
Thank you. The nation of Israel. They're the ones under the law. The Gentiles aren't under the law.
Right.
Right? They're sent to redeem those who are under the law. Stay with me. I'm talking about bloodline again. And because you are sons, to redeem them under law that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. By the way, fellas, who were we servant to? Who is Paul saying here they were servant to? They were servant to the law, and they were the servant to sin. He said, but no more, because why? If you're a son, you're an heir of God. Howbeit then, when, verse 8, you didn't know God, you did service unto them, which by nature are not gods. He said, why? Before you knew God, you followed people, you followed leaders. Why'd you do that? Verse 9. But now, after you've known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? He said, you were following the law, you were royalty, and you were following the law, and now that you've been set free, you want to go back and follow all the law again. He says, you observe days and months and times and years, and I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He said, what have I tried to teach all you guys this stuff? Prince Charles, Prince Harry, Prince William. Verse 13, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are, and you have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. He said, you just received me openly and freely, even though I had a lot of issues. My temptation, which was in my flesh, you didn't despise it nor reject, but you received me as an angel of God. Verse 15, where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. He said, you guys were so good to me. You would have pulled out your own eye for me. They had to. Am I therefore, Paul says, do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Isn't that amazing how he just kind of stuck that in there? Did you guys really love me? You did everything for me. And I come here and I start telling you the truth. You guys were going to give me your eye. You would have given me your eyes. And now when I come and start to tell you the truth, you want to pluck them out. Verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, boys and girls, you that desire to be again under the law, do you not hear the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bond maid and the other by a free woman. You don't miss this. One child of liberty and one of bondage. For 23, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Oh my goodness. But he of the free woman was born of the promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage. The law brings bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. It says the Israel is in bondage because they are law followers. They are rule followers. They're counting on the following of the law to get them to liberty. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Hey, boys, who's the bride? Huh? Who's giving birth to all these children? But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it's written, rejoice, thou barren that beareth, breakest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath in a husband. I don't want to get caught up in, this is all about the bloodline law of Christ. The bloodline of Christ is liberty. The bloodline of Israel is bondage. But we're all going to be set free by the mother of us all, the New Jerusalem. Some might think I misinterpreted something there. trying to show you bloodlines. It's all throughout the scripture. It's all throughout our society. There's something to it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, cool. Let's go to Galatians. I want to show you something, Jared. Go to fake pastors, Jared. I'm sorry. Go back to the stuff I sent you, fake pastors. I want to stay on this bloodline thing again. There are those who are of the synagogue of Satan. We know this, right? This, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Please follow this. They bring this Episcopal priest. I think he's a priest. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They bring him to England, a black minister, to marry. It's amazing to me. To perform this royal wedding. And wouldn't you know that just after this, they are launching let's reclaim Jesus movement. There's a reclaim Jesus movement out there. And who do you suppose would be one of the spokesmen? Well, doggone, this guy that just performed this wedding. He's in this video. This is being launched like this week, 24th or something. Maybe this week they're having this big let's reclaim Jesus movement from this cabal of the synagogue of Satan. That's what. What's this 4 minutes for?
As church elders from around the country,
there he is.
Different denominations,
races,
and genders,
we are witnessing perilous and polarizing times.
And we believe the soul of the nation and the integrity of faith are at stake.
Amen.
The country's leaders have co-opted the name of Jesus.
Stop, Jared. Jared. Don't miss this. These guys are what they call social justice, communism light. And they are very, very concerned because President Trump is reclaiming Christianity. They've had it. These guys have been having it. They've had the seminaries. They've had everything. And now all of a sudden they're very concerned because here's a guy standing up. What did they say? Hey, Lord, Lord, they're over there and they're healing people and they're not even using your name. They're not really one of us. And what did Jesus say? Leave them alone. Those are not against us or for us. And these guys here understand that something's going on. This uncircumcised Philistine, Donald Trump, is bringing Christianity back. Woo! These guys have been working for two generations to undo it. That's what this is about. Keep going, Jared.
We are commending this statement and reclaiming the name of Jesus.
It's our duty as leaders of the church to speak truth in humility and love.
But when politics undermine our theology, we must examine those politics.
Therefore, we believe.
We believe.
We believe each human being is made in God's image. And
not the unborn!
And that racial bigotry is a brutal assault of the image of God.
Therefore, we reject the resurgence of white nationalism and racism on many fronts,
including the highest levels of political leadership.
And we reject any doctrines or political strategies that use race as a tool to divide us.
We believe we are one body.
In Christ, there's to be no oppression based on race, gender, identity, or class.
Therefore, we reject the misogyny, harassment, assault, and abuse of women in our churches and country.
And the silence that allows this sin to endure.
We believe
treat. Stop a minute, Jared. They believe in homosexuality. They believe in abortion. They believe in Wiccanism, a lot of them. And now they want to reclaim Jesus. You see what's going on here? Remember, don't miss this. The very first guy who spoke is the dude who did the royal wedding. Go ahead, Jared.
The stranger, the sick, the prisoner,
is how we treat Christ himself.
Therefore, we reject the policies that would abandon the most vulnerable children of God.
Communism!
The growing attacks on immigrants and refugees.
We will not accept the neglect of low-income families and children.
We believe that truth is morally central to our lives.
Jesus promises that the truth will set us free.
Therefore, we reject the lies that have invaded our political and civil life.
The normalization of lying presents a profound moral danger to the fabric of society.
We believe that Christ's way of leadership is servanthood, not domination.
Therefore, we reject any moves toward autocratic political leadership and authoritarian rule,
both of which threaten democracy and the common good.
We believe Jesus when he tells us to go into all nations and to make disciples.
Our churches are part of an international community, and we should in turn love and serve all its inhabitants rather than seek first our country's dominance over all others.
Therefore, we reject an America First philosophy as theological heresy.
We share a patriotic love for our country,
but we reject xenophobic or ethnic nationalism that places our country over others.
2,000 years ago, claiming Jesus is Lord was a dangerous and political act.
Because if Jesus was Lord, Caesar was not.
2,000 years later, we are reclaiming that name of Jesus.
Reclaiming his holy and powerful name from those who would co-opt it
and wield it to seek their own gain.
Jesus is our light in the darkness.
In moments of moral crisis like this, it is time for a fresh confession of faith.
Will you join us in reclaiming the name of Jesus?
Okay, I'm going to open the window here. What's your reaction? I'm wondering if I'm the only one seeing this. If it's just maybe I'm crazy. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned there that Jesus said that if they're not against us, they're for us. There's another place in the Bible that instance was talked about. And in that place, it's recorded that he said, if they're not for us, they're against us. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like those contradictions, but they do not. They both say exactly the same thing. What Jesus said is there are two sides. You're on one or the other.
Amen. And so go ahead. Before I explain it the way I see it, somebody else come in.
Hey, Coach, the talents.
Yeah.
The talents. Guess what? If you've got 10 talents, he's going to give you the talents from the one who's got one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's clearly a hierarchy of merit involved in this reality we live in. And the person who has the 10 talents, the thing that Jesus does is he gives you the responsibility to take care of the poor and the weak if you are better than somebody else physically in this realm. If you're better at something, if Dale is better at flooring, then he's going to floor and I'm not, and I'm going to give him money to do that. If a country is better at liberty, then you're going to do that and you're going to give that to other people appropriately.
Amen.
It's so simple. You have the responsibility to help those people, not kill yourself.
Okay, so let me lay this out because I want to go somewhere with it. Here's what I see. Isn't it amazing how much they want to bring Jesus back into government right now when they've spent the last two generations trying to say there is a separation between the church and state and government is God? And so they spent three decades trying to get us to understand, appreciate government is God, and Trump comes in, or the spirit of Trump comes in, and the spirit of Trump is just the opposite. The spirit of Trump is liberty. Make America great again. Do the best that you can. Grow, expand. The opposite message. One is control. One is liberty. And so it should be an encouragement to us to understand that the left is concerned about the fact that we are moving away from communism. It concerns them, so they want to now reclaim the name of Jesus. This is not by coincidence, all right? This pastor who performs this wedding is now leading this event next week in Washington, D.C. Open your eyes. Had anybody ever heard of that guy ever before?
No.
Of course not.
Hey, I can see it, no problem. As soon as this video started, man, it was just simple to see that they're just trying to destroy everything that Trump is building up, his spirit.
They're trying to make the deplorables feel bad for using their skills and their talents in a way. That's right. They want us to feel guilty.
Coach, let me correct you. It's not to make us feel bad. It is to make the Sodomites feel good and justified in persecuting us.
Let me share. Hey, Coach. It's the same thing we did in our public schools, right? We took Christ out. We took the moral laws out, and we then re-indoctrinated. We took Christ out of government, out of our life for the past 20 years, and now we're re-indoctrinating them, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and you preach another gospel, another Jesus. And so they're introducing a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the gospel.
It's not the Jesus. It's not the Jesus. Okay, so do you guys see this? Do you understand? Do you see what took place at that royal wedding and what we're can't you make the connection? Can't your eyes open up and see that and understand? Can't you understand that the devil wants control? Let there be no mistake about it. Communism is control. Communism's control. An American Democratic Republic, which we used to have, is liberty, the right of the individual, the moving of my heart to help my brother, not being forced to give the money to the government to help my brother, but me to help my brother. Those two corresponding worldviews are clashing right now. And the left is so, the one worlders are so concerned. Look what they're doing. Look at the plays that they're trying to make.
Hey, Coach, can I bring this to a personal level?
Please.
This is what's going on with Rusty right now. The reason why, and Rusty applied, he didn't want to apply for Medicare to help his son with government to come in and help undergird some of the finances, is because we have raised money for him. The church has raised money to help him. The government said, as long as that is happening, we're not going to help you. See, the government wants to be the source and the savior for us, and they have to eliminate the church in order to do that. And the church has surrendered that, and it's really the church's responsibility.
So they're co-opting the church, Dale. See, can you believe that Jim Wallace and these guys talking about the name of Jesus? We got to reclaim the name of Jesus. They don't want the name of Jesus. They don't want that. They don't want that in our government. Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jared, pull up.
Hey, Coach.
Mario Murillo, the war is against us. Yeah, go ahead, Larry. Yeah.
They don't mind a bit the label of Jesus.
No, that's right.
They don't want the authority of Jesus.
Amen. They don't want us to have it. They sure don't want it, right? I've been saving this, and the Lord is so good. The Holy Spirit's so good. This is a month old, April 18th. It's a month old. I've been saving this for a month. Remember, I tell you, I got stuff every day I want to show you. Mario Murillo. Say what you want to about Mario Murillo. He's been so right in so many ways. And he wrote this on April 18th. He says, listen, their war is against us, not Trump. Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Reverend Mario Murillo, let's read this. It's not real long. Comey and Mueller, the tip of the iceberg. Oh, hang on, Jared. I got to move this off my screen here. Sorry, guys. There's small fish in a bigger tank. Before we get to that, here's a quick refresher on what brought us to this point. Comey breaks the law to save Hillary. Realizing his cover is blown at the last minute, he reopens the investigation. Trump wins. Comey and Mueller in the deep state, who worked to prevent Trump's election, pivot to run Trump out of office. Comey is fired. Both sides agree he needed to be fired until Trump did it. Comey takes the next step in the game. He leaks lies about Trump to the media so that Preciosa Mueller, his friend and fellow Trump hater, gets in as special prosecutor. The needed witch hunt begins. The Russian collusion fairy tales lives on without accountability. The soap opera is wearing thin on America. This is a month old now, remember. The multi-headed monster brainwashes the majority of millennials to believe the values we have honored for thousands of years suddenly are racist, sexist, must be eradicated. Mobs scream at conservatives. Professors invent microaggression, cultural appropriation, and safe places. Suddenly, victims are everywhere, and statues must be torn down. Careers destroyed. Insane boycotts enforced. And every crisis must be seized to advance a lie. Hey, guys, stop a minute. A black priest doing the royal wedding with a royal member marrying someone who has black blood. Well, come on, don't miss this. Keep going, Jared. All the people they could have had married, all the people that could have done that wedding, all the millions of pastors. They bring in a black guy from probably Chicago. I didn't check it out. They doctor research to create pseudosciences about gender and about weather and about equality. Borders are destroyed to fatten the voters' rolls on the left because the end justifies the means. The collateral damage doesn't matter. Only now this cynical viewpoint is losing its hold. That's what that video we just watched is about. Mario Morello continues. This is war. They don't have to tell the truth. They can ruin lives with lies. They can even justify the murder of innocent Americans. This too is becoming outrageous to many who once were on the fence. Don't miss that. Social media, news media, and the Democratic Party are only some of the arms of this monster. You ready? The goal, my friends, is to wipe out Christian influence in America. It is now painfully clear to more Americans. The left is desperate to remove the last firewall against the revolution. Marriage, parental rights, guns, and civil discourse all must go, or they have no hope of winning. But things are not going according to their plan. Something unexpected has happened. They're forced to expose their true colors and their true target before they were ready. Satan is overplaying his hand. Conservatives and Christians are no longer the only ones who are disgusted. Here's an example. Jimmy Kimmel asked Roseanne Barr, who now supports Trump, why she has changed. She said, "I haven't changed. It's all of you who have gone wacko left." Oops, there it is. A city worker walks into a motorcycle shop and finds it for flying military flags. A veteran who was shot 3 times in combat protested. The city worker looked at the veteran and said, "You did nothing for our country." The video went viral and the city totally backed down and rejected the worker. Another thing that wasn't supposed to happen was a creative writing professor at California State University at Fresno who said this about Barbara Bush right after her death. Barbara Bush was a generous and smart and amazing racist who, along with her husband, raised a war criminal. When people were outraged, she said, "This is what it's like to be an Arab-American, Muslim-American woman with some clout online expressing an opinion. Look at the racist going crazy in my mentions right now," she tweeted. Writer taunted those attacking her and said she was a tenured professor who makes $100,000 a year. "I'll never be fired," she tweeted. The university said, "Oh, yes, we can." I don't believe this woman meant to melt down and manifest this demon. I believe this extremism is a sign that evil is being driven to extremes. The left quickly disavowed her, but it's too late. The all too common hatred of the left is out of the bag. The backlash against her was swift. and overwhelming. We who are filled with the Holy Spirit have a unique advantage and responsibility. We understand demonic activity. The entire strategy against our freedom is demonic. These cracks in the armor of the monster are a sign of answered prayer. It shows us that our stand against the powers of darkness is working. The masters of the left don't want you to realize why Trump is so popular, why Obama, Hillary, Jerry Brown, and CNN look more and more crazy every day. We are seeking God for revival. That is forcing the left to be more extreme and more obvious than they want to be. I'm not saying this is going to be an easy battle or that it won't get worse. What I am saying is that this rush to extremism is a sign we can't ignore. Time for us to come into unity. Time for us to increase our prayers. Time to expect a gigantic implosion of war against our freedom. Folks, the war is against us. But if God be for us, who can be against us? That's it, see? We don't get it. We don't understand. We think it's Trump. We think it's Republican, Democrat. We think it's rich, poor, black, white, men, women. We all divide, diversion, divide and conquer. And the battle is over truth. And the war is not on Trump. It's on us. So much so that the monarchy just showed their hand as well. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
You won't hear this anywhere, man.
Your shirt says it all, Coach.
Truth sounds like hate, huh? Are you connecting the dots, guys? Are we connecting the dots and understand what's going on? See, the average, we've got to continue to push. That's why, I'm sorry, this sounds like a shameless plug. That's why our event in Columbus on June 15, 16 is so critical. In my mind, it's so critical that we be out there and we push back, because daily more and more are awakening and coming to our side. Do you understand that? And that we want to get out there and let people know, here we are. Here we are. We're sick of it. We're pushing back in the name of Jesus against this darkness and allow it to encourage others to do likewise. It's not about hating homos. It's not about any of that. We are under assault. And we're going to stand up, lift up the name of Jesus, and push back. Please try to get here with us. Somebody help me bring it home here. I got 7 minutes.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
It's time for, and I say it in this order, it's time for Christian white men to stop feeling guilty.
Yes.
About everything. Stop feeling guilty about every single thing you do. Stop it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hey, fellas.
So guilty about. How about, like, let me throw in the black guy in the crew. Slavery had nothing to do with white people. Okay? You heard it from me.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
So end it. There's no guilt on that. Thank you.
But see, we are so programmed. Listen, hear me. What Jared just said, the average person will never say. Because we are so programmed that if you stand up for your race, I don't even like that term race. That's a made up term.
Exactly.
As well. If you stand up for your ethnicity, you are racist. Right? But in order for there to be a one world government, there has to be a one world religion, and the provocateurs, the purveyors of this one world religion, have got to silence the voice of truth.
Hey, Coach, can I come in on camera?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, here I go. Okay, so here I am. I want to tell you this. I want to tell you, as a black man, but I don't, that's not how I classify myself. I classify myself as a right thinking person.
Mm-hmm.
Right thinking person. I do not support white genocide. Well, let's have, all right. So let me go back off camera. So Kyle, hopefully Kyle, you got that.
Hey, Kyle.
Yeah.
Coach, and you won't hear that's one foot in the world and one foot in the church equals two.
Dale, I think that was a really good statement. That it broke up. We didn't hear any of it. See if you can say that again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
One foot in the world and one foot in the church equals 2 feet in hell.
Hey. Amen. Amen. See, listen.
Hey, Coach.
There's something big going on around us. We're not seeing it. Yeah, George.
I bet your right-wing watch thinks that Vince is a white man in a black man's body. What do you think?
Yeah, well, they think he's a plant, probably. They probably think he's a plant. Hey, guys, listen.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how every detail of that war, that royal wedding, every detail was planned out? Every detail. There was nothing left to chance. So by what? Who made the decision? When they got down their list of ministers, pastors, and who do they bring in? This guy, and what did he speak on? Anybody know what he spoke on? What was his topic?
Love.
Love everybody. Love one another. Love. Goodness gracious. Why do I have this urge to say I've seen this play before? Why? And the average person, the average churchgoer, not really getting it, but slowly waking up. Wow, what a time to be alive. What a time. I got 3 minutes. Somebody tighten it up here for me. You got 3 minutes.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, did anybody mention, I was away here for a little bit during the hour, but did anybody mention that we had the right butts in the seats Saturday night? And then we're going to look at a house today for David Arthur, a residence going to live here in Ohio.
No, we didn't mention it. I didn't get into that. But yeah, we didn't have very many people to hear David Arthur speak on Saturday, but the right connections were there. The ones the Lord needed to make the connections were there. Now, listen, when you have a small crowd, we have a tendency to say, well, everyone the Lord wanted to be here is here. That's a lie. That's a lie. People are disobedient. The Lord wanted a lot more people to be there. But David, yeah, we're working on getting a place for David to live in. So that's all coming out good. Let me throw this in there because Dale Socha mentioned it. Rusty Thomas. Their finances are unbelievable as he's trying to save his son's life. And Rusty has rejected government funding because he would have had to compromise and be untruthful about his finances in order to receive the government financing. And he said, I will not do that. I won't do that. I love my son, but I will not break the law or the rules to save my son's life. Now, here's all I would say about that, Dale, and I'm sure you've thought about it too. See, it shows us, folks, how we, whether we realize it or not, we operate by two different sets of rules. We do. Your tax dollars go to support an ungodly system. And even for you to even operate within that ungodly system, you have to turn ungodly to be part of it. So those of us who are Christians, we need to come to the realization that at some point we're going to have to push back against this federal beast and refuse to be forced to do the ungodly and support the ungodly. We're to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Nothing. We're to have nothing to do with